This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we begin a series called Doing Business with God. In this series, Rick helps you understand why you work, what you should be working for, and how God can use you in your workplace. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Purpose of Work.
In your lifetime, you're going to spend 150,000 hours of your life at work. That's about 40% of your life working. Work defines our lives. Work describes our lives. It dominates our lives. It identifies our lives. And that's why we're going to do a series on it now for the next several weeks. What is God's will for your work? A recent study showed that about two-thirds of people say, if I could have a different job, I would. I'm not satisfied. I'm not fulfilled. I don't think I'm in the right job after all. And so what we're going to do during this series is look at what the Bible says, God's word about work. And we're going to look at questions like, what do I do when I get laid off? How do I get a promotion? What is the best job for me? What should I be doing with my life? How do I even know what's the best kind of job for me? What do you do when you've got a bad boss and you've got conflict going on? What do you want to do if you want to start a new business? The Bible actually has a lot of material to answer all of these questions. Today, to kick us off in this series I'm calling Doing Business with God, I want us to look at the fundamental question, and it's this: why? Why work? What is the purpose of work? Now, it's not a new question. Thousands and thousands of years ago, Solomon asked this question in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Look on your outline. The Bible says this, Ecclesiastes 3:9. What do people really get for all their hard work? What do people really get? What's the benefit? What's the payoff? What's the purpose of all the hard work? If I'm going to spend 40% of my life working, what in the world is the reason for that? Now, I know some people think that actually work is punishment from God. But it's not. They say, but doesn't the Bible say that after sin entered the world, God cursed the ground, he kicked them out of Garden of Eden and said, now you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. Yes, that's true. But even before sin entered the world, God had work for Adam and Eve to do. He gave them assignments. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it's here on the screen, God put the man in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. To work it and to care for it. Even in paradise, work was a part of God's plan. So the result of sin is not work. The result of sin is work is harder. It's more difficult. It's more disappointing. It's more demeaning. It has drudgery. It has disappointments. These are the things that are brought on by work. Work is painful. But the fact is, the Bible says God works. In fact, God is working all the time. Jesus said it like this on the screen. My Father is always at his work, and I, too, am working. God is constantly working. So it's not a sin to work. In fact, the reason we work is because we're made in God's image, and God says he's working all the time. Now, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to work in heaven. You say, oh, no. What'd you think you were going to do, sit around and play a harp all day? No. God has work for you to do, only it's good work. It's fulfilling work. There are no mosquitoes in heaven. No bad bosses in heaven. No gossip. No inter-office politics in heaven. And so the good thing is you'll have work to do, but it'll be fit your shape, and it will be fulfilling, and it will be fun. But you're not just going to lay around because you weren't made to do nothing. And so there will be work in heaven. I talked the other day to a guy, and I said, why are you working? He says, I work to retire. And I said, now, haven't you got that a little bit backwards? I'm going to spend all my life doing something I don't want to do, so in the last couple of years, I can do what I really want to do. Shouldn't you be doing what you really want to do all along? Isn't that giving it backwards? You're going to use your best energy, your best mind, your best physical health to do something you don't want to do. And then when you have lost a lot of your strength and lost a lot of your energy, then you're going to do what you really want to do. There's got to be a better purpose for work than simply in order to retire. And there is. In fact, the Bible gives us 6 purposes of work. We're going to look at them this weekend. And they're actually like levels of motivation from the least important to the most important. Number one, the most basic motivation for work is necessity, and that is to meet my needs. I work to meet my needs. That's the principle of necessity. Now, this is the most obvious basic reason. I don't have to spend a whole lot of time on it. We work to stay alive. This is the survival mode reason for work. If I don't work, I don't eat. I owe, so off to work I go. Proverbs 12, verse 11 says in the Message, the one who stays on the job has food on the table. So this is really pretty simple. I work in order to be able to stay alive. I work out of necessity. I work to meet my needs. Now, the Bible says not only are we to provide for ourselves, we are to be self-sufficient if at all possible. There are times when we can't be self-sufficient, but if we are able to, we are to be self-sufficient. And the Bible also says that we are to provide for our own family, particularly our own immediate family. That's our responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility. It's not somebody else's. It's my responsibility if I'm able to work. Now, as I said, sometimes I'm not able, but when I am responsible for the needs of my family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says this. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Whoa, that's pretty strong words. God says that providing for those in my family is my spiritual responsibility, that we are to take care of our own families as best as possible. Now, there are many people today who don't actually believe this. They think, if I don't want to work, I shouldn't have to work. I'm not talking about can. I'm not talking about inability. I'm talking about no desire. I don't want to work, so I shouldn't have to work, so the government should pay for me, or you should pay for me, or somebody else should pay for me, simply because I don't want to work. I want to read to you an editorial in the LA Times. I'm not making this up. It's almost too hard to believe, but somebody actually wrote this in the LA Times. Quote, there's been a lot of criticism of people lately who do not want to work, especially when they're collecting welfare. Now, most people prefer to work, and that's fine for them. But others may prefer to sit in the park or go to the beach or observe the wonders of nature. Those who dislike working should not be penalized by depriving them of the benefits of all of our society. There's plenty for all of us. Everyone does not feel the same way about working. Some people actually have built-in feelings about work that could make it very unpleasant for them. Oh, really? Really? When they're required to work. Now, these feelings could be looked upon as a handicap. We do not punish others with handicaps. Instead, our society provides for them. And we should do the same for those with a natural dislike for work. Why can't we all just live and let live with each other living in his own style? Now, can you believe that? This guy is recommending that laziness be categorized as a disability. Now, the point is that I want to make this, wherever you have freedom, you have freeloaders. Somebody ought to tweet that, okay? Wherever you got freedom, you've got freeloaders. You know, the pilgrims, when they came to America to found this country, made a rule right off the bat, and it was this. Whoever is unwilling to work doesn't share in the meal. They had a common meal. If you don't work, you don't eat. Now, where in the world would they get an idea like that? From the Bible. Look at the next verse, on your outline. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says this, whoever doesn't want to work shouldn't be allowed to eat. Now, circle the word doesn't want, the phrase. No, he's not saying you can't work. Sometimes you can't work. Sometimes you're disabled. Sometimes you're sick. Sometimes you've got extenuating circumstance. You're caring for somebody who's sick, or you've got little kids at home, or all kinds of different. Whoever doesn't want to work should not be allowed to eat. It's not that they can't work, it's that they won't work. God says everybody who can work is supposed to work. There's no free lunch, no loaves for loafers. But that's not you or me. What about when all my needs are met? I mean, if the first purpose of work is simply to meet my physical needs, once I've got enough to just meet my physical needs, isn't it okay that I just stop working because I've got enough to meet my physical needs? Isn't that okay for me to stop? The answer is no, because there are 5 other purposes of work besides meeting your physical need. God did not put you here on earth just to take up space, breathe air, live for yourself, and die. If you're alive, God expects you to be making some kind of contribution with your life. It may not seem significant to you, but your life has a contribution to make. And God will always have you, whether you're making money or not, making a contribution with your life. You're not free to just do nothing for the rest of your life simply because you can afford to do nothing the rest of your life. If you're not going to do anything with your life, God should ought to just kill you and take you on to heaven, because he didn't leave you here to be selfish. Now, the Bible says this, Proverbs 13, verse 4, there on your outline. Let's read this aloud with great enthusiasm. All right? Lazy people want much but get little, but those who work hard will prosper and be satisfied. Circle the word prosper. God is not opposed to prosperity. God is opposed to selfishness. God is opposed to greed. God is opposed to self-centeredness, but God is not opposed to prosperity. In fact, many of the greatest saints in the Bible were very, very wealthy people. Job, Abraham, David, Moses, Lydia, I could go through the whole list. Many of the people in the Bible were actually quite wealthy. God's not opposed to prosperity. He is opposed to selfishness. And Jesus actually praised businessmen who used business skills to make a profit. Profit is a good word. It's not a dirty word. It's a good word. You want your life to be profitable. Jesus commended the 2 men who doubled their return on investment in their money. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. In fact, the guy who played it safe didn't take an investment, didn't make any risk, didn't do anything with his life or his talent. He said, that was wicked. And all through Scripture, Jesus commends wise business people. The fact is, the Bible is filled with principles for successful business, for successful career, for successful job, vocation, work. And it is my job as your pastor to help you succeed in this area that you're going to spend 40% of your life in. Now, you may be working at home. You have little kids at home. That's not a 9-to-5 job. That's called a 24-hour-a-day job. And you're working far harder than somebody who's working simply 9-to-5. But everybody has some kind of work in their life. The second purpose of work is not necessity, it's identity. And the purpose of identity is to express my talent. God wants you to work so you can express what he made you to be. He's given you certain gifts and talents. He expects you to use them. He's given you certain personality. We call this your shape, S-H-A-P-E, spiritual gift, heart, ability, personality, experiences. And God doesn't want you to hide those things. God wants you to use them. Work is a place to show your creativity. Work is a place to create beauty. Work is a place to make a difference. Work is a place to give back. And God says, I want you to express your identity, to express your talent through your work. Now, that means the best work for you is the work that best expresses your talent. And some of you are in jobs, it's not doing that. It doesn't express your uniqueness. We're going to go into this in detail next week, in depth. But the truth is, God has wired every one of us to do something different. And the reason we all like to do different things is so everything gets done. I mean, if we all like to do what you like to do, then there'd be a lot of things left behind. Now, some of you, you're really good at numbers. You're good at math. You're really good at that. Some of you, you suck at math. Okay, you're terrible at it. You're just bad. Some of you are good with words, and you're good at writing and composing. And some of you, you couldn't spell cat if you had to. Some of you, you're really good with physical things. You have good hand-eye coordination. Some of us are very uncoordinated physically. You may be good with mechanical things. Or you may, some of you have a supernatural ability to empathize with people. You have great caring skills. You have great serving skills. And people who do hospice, people who are nurses, people who are preschool teachers, who have an amazing ability to serve. And the rest of us, we're not like that. Some of you are by nature super organized. And if we were to go and look in your closet, all your blue shoes are together. And you think everybody has a closet like that. None of us have closets like that. You're the only one. But you have a natural ability to organize. And what you are good at, you think everybody else is good at. They're not. We're not. But we need people doing different things so everything gets done. Does that make sense? Okay. So I want you to turn to the person next to you right now and say, thank you for not being like me. All right? Just go ahead. Thank you for not being like me. All right. It's very important. We only need one of you in this world. One of you is enough. Now, when you do what you're shaped to do and your work matches your shape, oh, that's a whole lot of fun. How do you know if the job you have is right for you? How do you know if you're shaped for the job you're in? You are successful and you are satisfied. You're fruitful and you're fulfilled. You're good at it and it feels good at it. That's how you know. Now, if you say, well, I'm not really that successful at what I'm doing, or I don't really feel fulfilled by what I'm doing, you're in the wrong job. And I don't care how much money you're making, you're in the wrong job. Your life is too important to waste. I want you to write this down. Meaning matters more than money. Meaning matters more than money. And if you're in a job that you don't find meaningful, you're in the wrong job for you. And you need to do whatever it takes. Even if you have to lower your standard of living, you have to buy a smaller home. Meaning matters more than money. When you get to heaven, God isn't going to ask you, how much money did you make? He's going to say, did you make your life count? Did you express the talents that I gave you? Well, no, I was busy making money. Wrong answer. I gave you talents and you didn't use them? No, I was busy making money. This job paid more. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10, each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts, to be used in the service of others. So, use your gift well. And how do you know if you're using your gift well? As I said, you're successful and you're satisfied. Now, when you do what you're shaped to do, and we're going to cover this in more detail, it gives you respect, self-respect, and it gives you dignity. It feels good. And you know what? It's okay to feel good. It's okay to have pride in doing a job well done. When you have pride over a job well done because you know God gifted you in a certain way, wired you to do it, and you're flat out good at it, that's okay. That kind of pride is okay as long as you don't compare yourself to somebody else. The moment you start comparing yourself, well, I'm better than that person, now it becomes a sin. Look at the next verse, Galatians 6:4. Be sure to do what you should. In other words, what you're wired to do, what you're made to do, what God purposed for you to do. Be sure to do what you're shaped to do, for then you will enjoy the personal satisfaction of having done your work well. Why? Because you're good at it. Having done your work well. And you won't need to compare yourself with anyone else.
Thank you so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We've got some great news to share with you. Very generous friends have given a $10,000 matching grant to this ministry. That means every dollar you give right now to help Daily Hope share the transforming love of Jesus with people around the world will be matched up to $10,000. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. You know, my hope is that God uses this broadcast to help deepen your relationship with Jesus. Now, these Daily Hope messages are distributed on radio stations and digital platforms all across the globe, and listeners are writing and letting us know that their lives are being changed. They're telling us that they're walking with Jesus and that guilt and fear has been chased from their lives by God's love. You know, relationships are being restored and marriages are being healed, and many people are saying that they've found their life purpose. I want to say thank you to you, because we're only able to carry the hope of Jesus to these people all around the world because of gifts from generous listeners like you. I just wanted to say I am so grateful for your prayers and your financial support. Now, I understand in times like these, many of you are unable to give financial support. Hear it from me. That's okay. Because I never want anybody to give unless God leads them to give. That's between you and God, not between you and me, but between you and God. And your prayers are a continual and incredible contribution to this Daily Hope ministry. Now, if you do want to give a financial gift, I've got some really great news to share with you. There's a generous friend of Daily Hope broadcast who is offering to match the amount of your gift. In other words, if you give $20, then that person has combined it with a grant to make your gift $40. Now, if you've never given a gift to Daily Hope, I want you to pray about partnering with us so that together we can continue to share the hope of Jesus throughout the whole world. I love you so much.
Just go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 and have your gift matched up to $10,000. That's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.